Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Sanctify us in the truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. So, our opening hymn this morning was sung from TLH, even though the same hymn is found in LSB. For those of you who don't know, the red hymnal is TLH and the dark red maroon hymnal is LSB. Most of the time that we sing out of that lighter red hymnal, we do so simply because it's easier. I am a lazy man, and I don't like doing a whole lot of office work. You see, most of them that we sing weren't included in the pew edition of the maroon hymnal. Instead, they're stuck in the back pages of our organist's book only. And so we don't have access to them, unless, of course, you decide to pay for an online subscription through CPH, track the hymn down in their online software application, export it to a program on your computer where you can edit it to look as it should and format it to local custom, print off however many copies you want, cut them to the right size, and then stuff each and every one of them in individually to each hymnal or bulletin. It's really no wonder why these hymns have been lost to so many Lutherans today after they served our fathers for hundreds of years. Who's going to do this each week? The unpaid, non-existent secretary? Probably not. This is just a bit of a rant regarding such hymns, and really it's a way of me saying if you ever have questions about hymnody or any of the things you do, I am always available. My phone number to my personal cell phone that I always have on me, even at 2 o'clock in the morning, that number is still printed on the front of your bulletin, and you can call me anytime. I would love to visit with you. That said, got that out of the way, today's hymn is a completely different story. It's printed in both hymnals. And the hymn isn't that different in either one, except for a couple of things. They did update the language, which I find absolutely ridiculous, but I guess that's not a huge deal, I guess, except for I'm guessing that most of you would be pretty upset if your favorite hymn was updated from "How Great Thou Art" to "How Big You Are." But I guess it's okay with every other hymn in the hymnal. But again, I'm ranting. I'm sorry. Let's get back to the point. The reason we sang the opening hymn from TLH this morning is found right at the very end of the first stanza. We begin the hymn confessing that we trust in God even when dark times overtake us. We say, "Though many woes may overtake me, he will not forsake me." In LSB, they decided to follow that up with "My troubles he can alter, his hand lets nothing falter." That's true. It's biblical. Would be beautiful if that's what Radagast had written 400 and something years ago and our fathers sang, but it's not. The original was, "His love it is doth send them, and when 'tis best will end them." The difference, the changing, indicates that we are now, 400 years later, afraid to confess, as our fathers always have, that the dark times and woes that overtake us are actually ordained by God Himself. And we should not be afraid to confess what Christ has taught us in our gospel lesson today. I wonder if that committee called Joel Osteen for his opinion, for he denies that God ordaining trials and crosses is a true and accurate statement. But we are Lutherans, and our fathers taught us that trials and crosses are from God, and that we are to yield ourselves to them, trusting that they are for our good, and that He knows best when to put an end to them. That's far more comforting than pretty much any other reason that you could come up with that trials overtake you. What else do you have? God hates you? Is that really what you want to go with? Because he doesn't. He loves you. As we see in our text this morning, there is nothing new under the sun. Christ teaches his hearers, and now us, several thousand years later, that we should not worry about the things of this world, neither what we will eat nor what we will drink. We should not worry about the clothes that we will wear. We should not even worry about whether or not we're going to wake up tomorrow morning. To worry about those things is to do the opposite of having confidence in our Heavenly Father who loves us. You see, if you find your confidence in whether or not you have a mansion and 16 classic cars in the garage, like Mr. Osteen teaches you to find your confidence in, for the most part, I'm pretty sure as I look over the crowd here, I can say none of you will ever have confidence if you think that's where it comes from. But we have trust not in the things of this world, the things that we can see and perceive apart from the Word of God. Instead, our confidence comes from the promises that our good and gracious God has given us. Our confidence is found in the one who yielded himself to the Father's wrath to obtain our salvation. We have and know the ultimate example of God working through what the world would call something that is only evil and wickedness to produce what is the greatest good that man has ever known. And it's right here, Christ crucified. Therefore, we should repent of the worry that the old Adam wells up in us. We know that even in times when we are unsure of what tomorrow will bring, whether that be uncertainty as to whether a loved one will still be on this side of heaven, or that the position you have with your employer will still be yours in the morning, or whether the bank is going to take your house the next day, your Father loves you, and he will take care of you. Not only that, furthermore, he has ordained that you would go through this trial, and he has done so for your good. As we sang in the other hymn, the hymn of the day, which, thank God, they left their grubby hands off for the most part, what God ordains is always good. Whether we like the thing that he has ordained for us or not does not matter. What he ordains for you is good. Now, this does not mean that our Father in heaven is the author of evil. Don't make that mistake either. Evil is in the world because of sin. Instead, we know that our Heavenly Father actually is almighty, as we have always confessed, that he actually is all-powerful, like we always confess, and that he is in control of everything because of that. In other words, he uses even the evil that we bring into the world through sin for our good, by using it as a father would to teach his children. The sorrows of this world are what keep us on the narrow way, guiding us into virtue. It hurts when you cheat on your wife. It hurts when you beat your children and go to prison for it. Those things keep you on the narrow way. They strengthen your faith when you are punished for your sin. And even the other trials and chances that have nothing to do with what you specifically did, but are just a result of sin that is in this world, remind us of our priorities, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We confess that it is impossible for God to send us, who are his children, something that would be to our detriment. What kind of father would do such a thing? He is our Father. He loves us. He gave his one and only Son for us, even though we deserved his righteous wrath and punishment. We sum all of this up in what God ordains is always good, but it is most explicitly described in the third stanza of that hymn. What God ordains is always good. His loving thought attends me. No poison can be in the cup. that my physician sends me. My God is true, each morning new. I trust his grace unending, my life to him commending. This cup that we are singing about here is the same cup that our Lord, while in the garden, sweating goblets of blood because of his anxiety, prayed that the Father would remove from him. It is the cup of the Father's wrath. Unlike Christ, though, who had the cup poured out on him as a punishment for our sins, we receive the cup not as punishment, but as medicine. And it is, in fact, a bitter medicine that causes pain and will most certainly remove certain worldly pleasures from your life, just like it's necessary to take off the foot sometimes to keep the gangrene from attacking the rest of the body that doesn't feel good, and you walk with a limp for the rest of your life. This is a medicine that looks to the world as if it is, in fact, poison because it tastes like poison and it has many of the same outward visible effects as poison. But we are not of this world. We are God's children. And he has shown to us that he is moved by compassion and mercy, not by cruelty and justice. Therefore, while we drink of this cup, this cup that causes pain and bitter strife in our life, we sing ever more loudly the more it hurts. No poison can be in the cup that my physician sends me. Knowing that even this trial, whatever it may be, will be used by God just like a surgeon uses a scalpel. Like a surgeon opens the flesh, damaging the body to bring about good, perhaps removing a cancer or restoring a broken heart. So our Father uses the trials of this life to remove the cancer of sin from our flesh and to restore our heart of stone to a heart of flesh that loves him and our neighbor. If Jesus lives, if that is true, and we know it is, and if God is for us, and we know he is, then who can be against us? So what if you only have two sets of clothes and a car that didn't start this morning? Why does that matter? So what if your children all have to share a bedroom with their brothers and sisters and maybe the family dog while everyone else around you has their own individual room for each individual child to live their own individual life, staring at their own individual screen and device? That was all bad anyway. What God ordains is always good. Even death itself is now a portal to eternal life. So why worry? Which one of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Raise your hand. Cannot. You simply do not know what is best for you and what is best for your life, at least not more than your Heavenly Father knows. And you simply cannot know what the future has in store for you and your loved ones. Just about everyone here is doing something different than what they thought they were going to be doing 40 years ago. But there are things that you do know, that you can know, such as God loves you. That he has shown you that love by sending his Son into the flesh to die for you and to rise again from the dead, paving the way to the resurrection for you. You know that he chose you in the waters of holy baptism, that right there he made you his child, that you may cry out to him as a dear child cries out to his dear father, trusting that he, unlike our earthly fathers, will always be there to answer you and shower you with his love and grace because he is the perfect Father. And not only that, but you should know this, and you should not be afraid to confess it. Without trials and crosses, you would leave the narrow path that leads to your heavenly home. And your Father, in his love and mercy, loves you too much to spare the rod, just like your earthly father should love you too much to do the same. And it's because of this that we're able to sing, what God ordains is always good. This truth remains unshaken. Though sorrow and need or death be mine, I shall not be forsaken. I fear no harm, for with his arm he shall embrace and shield me. So to my God I yield me. God grant that each and every one of us has the grace to believe this all the days of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.